Contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Without freedom of the press, no democratic form of government could exist.
We switch you now to London.
I'm standing on a rooftop, looking out over London.
Good night, and good luck.
Good evening from our CBS newsroom in New York.
NBC presents Chet Huntley and David Brinkley.
From ABC, this is World News Tonight. With Peter Jennings in London, Max Robinson in Chicago, and from our desk in Washington, Frank Rendell.
Good evening.
This historic legislation, the telecommunications law, will create many, many high wage jobs, will create opportunity and better lives for all Americans.
When the press is free, the people of a country are free. When the press is not free, the people of a country are in danger of slavery.
Keeping you informed with information, news, and the views of people making the news. It's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
You know, just when you think things can't get any curiouser, the next day arrives. So if you're like me, last night you watched Lester Holt. You watched to see the Donald Trump interview to see if it got any weirder than him basically, you know, admitting that everything his communications people told us over the previous 48 hours about why Jim Comey was fired was a lie. Because Donald Trump probably decided just on the spur of the moment, you know what? I'll take it off the back of Rosenstein because he's pissed. So we'll move it over. And I'll admit this.
Regardless of recommendation, I was going to fire Comey, knowing there was no good time to do it. And in fact, when I decided to just do it, I said to myself, I said, you know, this Russia thing with Russia? Trump and Russia is Russia. A made-up story. Yeah. It's an excuse by the Democrats for having lost an election.
Yeah. So he admitted it, right? Even Joe Scarborough, I got to tell you, not a big Morning Jerk fan, but I've been watching in recent days because Joe Scarborough has been over the top. In fact, after that clip, the Joker himself went,
Donald Trump and the Trump White House mm-hmm. has admitted on camera.
Yeah.
They fired James Comey because they wanted to kill the FBI investigation that was reaching into Trump's affairs with Russian associates. They admitted that on camera.
Yes, they did.
So I don't know what Republicans are going to do today on Capitol Hill.
Nothing.
That are still foolishly following this man off the cliff.
Nothing.
I don't know what conservative talk radio hosts are going to do, how they're going to try to switch the blame. You know, 2 days ago, they were so sad and pathetic when they were trying to blame it on a deputy attorney general. Go back and listen to their tapes. Go back and listen to the apologists. They took Trump's lie. They swallowed it whole. He forced them to spit it out. This man, Mika, ends up making fools of everyone that works around him.
Yeah, he does. He's been. That's nothing new. But I'll tell you, one part of the interview really stuck out like a sore thumb to me. And I had to go back and I had to keep listening to this little clip over and over again.
The Senate Intelligence Committee wants information from the Treasury Department's Financial Crimes Unit about your business's finance. Can you tell us whether you, your family, your businesses, your surrogates have accepted any investments, any loans from Russian individuals?
Yeah, in fact, I just sent a letter to Lindsey Graham from one of the most prestigious law firms in the country, a tremendous, highly rated law firm, that I have nothing to do with Russia. I have no investments in Russia.
Sure.
None whatsoever.
No.
I don't have property in Russia. A lot of people thought I owned office buildings in Moscow. I don't have property in Russia.
Right.
And I have a certified letter, just so you understand.
A certified letter?
I'm not just saying that.
Oh, no.
I've given the letter to Senator Lindsey Graham.
Wow.
He has the letter.
A letter.
And I think, frankly,
he has a letter.
I assume he's going to give the letter out, but it says, I am not involved in Russia. No loans, no nothing.
He has a letter, a certified letter. You know what? I have a certified letter here, too. It costs $3.35 to send it. I can write a certified letter that says, or to the IRS and says, we're clear. We're good. I don't know anything. Would that make that true? Yeah, probably. I don't know anything because I didn't make anything. But you know what I'm saying. He has a certified letter. This man is delusional. All right, we have a busy, busy show today, so I don't have a whole lot of time for calls, but somebody's calling in with a burning comment. Who's this? Hello? Yeah. That's you.
Yep, this is Sanjeeva from Ames, Iowa.
Hey, Sanjeeva.
I was just going to say that Bernie is going to spend his entire weekend next week campaigning for Rob Quist in Montana, and we could at least do him a service by phone banking over the weekend for Rob Quist. Our Revolution's opening up their dialer today and tomorrow and Sunday for phone banking. The only way we can deal with these bastards is by voting them out.
Without a doubt. And Rob Quist stands a good chance to win in Montana. He's the singing cowboy guy. I've heard only really good things about him. He does have a chance. This is a seat that's opened up because the new secretary of I forget which one, outside stuff, is from Montana. So that seat is open. Rob Quist could be the next congressman from Montana. So ourrevolution.org, I believe, is the website. It might be .com. I'm sure.
.com.
You go on the website, they'll have all the information on how to do the phone banking. It's a good thing to do. Even if you find yourself with a spare 20 minutes, it's worth doing.
Yeah, if he wins, it could send a message at least to scare at least the 24 Republicans who live in Hillary districts. And it could jam up all the nasty stuff they're planning, at least Paul Ryan's planning, to try and get done with Trump.
Yeah.
If he had the chance.
Well, that's, you know what? I'm glad you called with that. So go do it. The election, I believe, is not this coming Tuesday. It's the following Tuesday, right?
May 25th.
Okay.
And there's early voting now, so.
There you go. If you know anybody in Montana, get on the phone. There's only one congressional district in the whole state. It's an at-large seat. So, let's do what we can and send some loud and strong signals.
Yeah. I just want to say to the people who are bitching about Bernie, I mean, at least he's spending an entire weekend campaigning for a guy in Montana.
Yep.
Even though he's not even an institutional Democrat.
That's right.
It's kind of sad that an independent socialist has to go to Montana to save a party which doesn't give a shit about it.
Right. But you know what? The thing is with Bernie, it's not about the party. It's about the person. And that's how it should be. So, Sanjeeva, thank you for the call. I don't have a lot of time to hang today because, as I said, we do have a busy show. So, in fact, what we're going to do, you know what? I now have the computer on Skype on the other. In case you hadn't noticed, over the last, however long it's been, a while, every time I took a phone call, all of a sudden the audio levels would jump. You know, I work on a very, very shoestring budget over here. And so, I've been just tearing my hair out trying to figure out the issue. And finally I installed, the phone on the other computer. But so hopefully we're not having those, audio jumping problems anymore, but I want to get our first guest on the line today. You know, John Hudson is somebody that I follow on Twitter, and I had never met him, you know, other than exchanging tweets here and there until last night when I got an email from him. Now, Jonathan Hudson is a progressive activist and the founder of Global Media Max. It's a strategic communications firm. Something. Why didn't it go through? Oh, no. Oh, no. It's times like this I could really use a producer. Okay, let me just type it in again. See, I wasn't planning on taking a phone call, and I had the number in there and everything. All right, this should work. Let's see. All right, I think it's ringing. So, no, I'm calling the wrong number. No, it's calling this is not good. I don't know what's happening. I'm going to have to call him from the other one. Damn it. I see I really didn't want to do this, but I will. All right, I know this is such good radio. Anyway, he sent me an email last night and he said, you know, people are frustrated right now because they don't know what they can do other than bitch and moan about Trump firing Comey and all that. So Jonathan Hudson, who is a progressive activist, he has a couple of ideas. And while we're starting things off today, talking about things we can all do, I invited Jonathan onto the show. So, hey, John, it's Nicole Sandler calling.
Hey, Nicole. Sometimes, don't you want to just take direct action instead of waiting for Congress to do their damn jobs? Don't you just want to take you to the streets or pick up the phone and make a call that you yourself can do without waiting for somebody else to take action?
Absolutely. And, you know, and then there are things that we can all do on our own. For instance, like yesterday, I was talking about how if you live in a state with Republican senators, this is the time to get on the phone and make nice with the staff. I know sometimes I can be a real bitch and I'll call and it's not my proudest moments, but when I'm angry, I'm angry. But I called I live in Florida, so I call Marco Rubio's office and I was very nice. And I'd say, you know, this is the time when Marco Rubio can really shine because we know that he's better than Donald Trump. And we know that he's not going to stand for these shenanigans. And it's just getting worse and worse every day. Marco Rubio's really got to step up and call for an independent special prosecutor to look into this Russia question, just to get it all clear, you know, so you can kill him with kindness and put, you know, put the fear of shame into them. But you've got something on a more organized scale that we can all do, yes?
Yes, I've got over 1,000 people on Twitter right now retweeting me. My Twitter account is at John Hudson, which is at JonHutson. But you don't have to just retweet me. You can do this yourself. If you grab a pen, I'm going to give you two phone numbers to call. They're both at the Department of Justice.
Okay.
And they're both open 24/7. So these are message lines, automated message lines. they'll be busy because a lot of people are concerned. A lot of people are calling, but you will get through. I got through on the fifth call.
Okay.
To the first line. The first is you can call the Department of Justice comment line at 202-353-1555. Again, that's 202-353-1555.
155. Sorry, you broke up. 202-353-1555. That's the department.
1555. That's right.
That's the Department of Justice comment
to demand,
line.
Yeah, that's the Department of Justice comment line to demand that Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein appoint a special counsel. So demand a special counsel on the DOJ comment line 202-353-1555. We need a special counsel to look into Russiagate, to look into Trump's ties and his campaign members' ties to Russia. Keep calling. You will get in. It's an automated message line. They're open 24/7. Over 1,000 people have retweeted me, and they've been saying, I kept calling. I got in. You know, others keep calling too. So the new thing that I just tweeted out is you can also call the Department of Justice Office of the Inspector General.
Ooh.
Now, Inspectors General are very independent,
mm-hmm.
and they don't, they're not steered around by the Attorney General. In fact, that's the one person in the Department of Justice to whom the Attorney General has to respect and even fear a little bit. So you can call the Department of Justice Office of the Inspector General. And their toll-free line, it's open 24/7, toll-free, 1-800-869-4499. Again, that's 800-869-4499. And this is the line that you call to report if an employee of the Department of Justice has committed some misconduct or broken a law. So you want to report Attorney General Jeff Sessions for breaking his promise to recuse himself from the Russiagate probe. He promised he would stay out of anything to do with the Trump campaign, but he has not recused himself from investigating Paul Manafort's payments from Russia and payments from Ukraine, and he did not recuse himself from firing FBI Director James Comey. So that's the line to call the Inspector General and report Attorney General Jeff Sessions for failing to recuse himself from Russiagate. Again, that's 1-800-869-4499.
And I will post both of these numbers on the blog at NicoleSandler.com, along with where I post the day's podcast after the show. So in the blog section at NicoleSandler.com. So if you missed it, I'll have it there for you. You can get it anytime. This is a great idea. Yeah, you know, a lot of us, John, do feel sort of helpless. It's like we're watching all this shit unfold, and every day it's something new and even more heinous than the day before. And we're going, what can we do? I'm counting the days until the 2018 midterm elections, but that's not good enough.
It's not good enough. We do have to keep calling Congress in addition, but sometimes you just want to pick up the phone and make a direct call, take a direct action yourself. Here's something that you can do without waiting for your Congress critter to act. Now, when you do call either of these lines, please, as you pointed out, Nicole, be polite because it's more persuasive and effective. There's no point in cursing and venting your spleen here. Just be polite, be calm. The facts and the truth are on your side. Just ask calmly for what you want, a special counsel and the recusal of the Attorney General, and state it plainly. And the fact is, thousands of other patriotic Americans like you are going to be calling these numbers too, and it will have an impact.
Now, John, I don't know if you heard again this morning. I mean, the news is coming today. One other thing that I didn't even get to in the opening of the show, in his little tweet storm this morning, it seems as if the president threatened the former FBI director and tipped off the fact, perhaps, that he may be secretly taping visitors to the White House. He said, James Comey better hope that, oh, James Comey better hope that there are no tapes of our conversations before he starts leaking to the press. That is like a threat, and it's about something that, you know, back in 1973, taping people at the White House without their knowledge was outlawed, wasn't it?
Well, actually, in the District of Columbia, a party to a conversation can legally tape that conversation.
Oh,
so if
that's
both
one of those
sitting in the White House,
right?
In D.C., one party to the conversation can secretly the other party. It's not a phone call across state lines to Virginia where that would be illegal, but in D.C., if both of them are sitting having a dinner conversation, but what's out? It is legal. However, what's outrageous is Sean Spicer, the White House spokesperson, was asked whether President Trump recorded his conversation with FBI Director Comey, and he said the president has nothing further to add.
And he was asked it at least
a response.
Right,
that's not acceptable.
He was asked the question three or four times, and he said, "I'll say it again. The president has nothing further to add." And different reporters asked it in different ways, and the answer was always the same: the president has nothing further to add. So, wow.
Well, this is a bluff by Trump. I'm going to call his bluff. Trump always bluffs, and the key to dealing with a threatening bully like Trump is to consistently call his bluff. He's got nothing. If he had something, he would show it. He's got nothing. But he is inviting us to compare him with former President Nixon. He wants to be compared with Nixon because he believes that's a flattering comparison.
Wow.
However, I don't believe that. I think most Americans don't believe it's a flattering comparison to be like Tricky Dick Nixon.
Yeah, to Donald Trump, that's a compliment, I guess, because his buddy is Roger Stone has Nixon tattooed on his back. So I guess they think that's, you know, that's a good thing. It is opposite
world. I
guess they
do. That's kind of a crazy cult-like behavior, but different strokes for different folks, I guess. I'd rather they tattoo the First Amendment or something on their back and stop attacking the free press, which is a cornerstone of our democracy.
No kidding. By the way, Jonathan, make sure the number again to the Inspector General, the Office of the Inspector General at the DOJ is 800-869-4499. One of the people in the chat room got one digit off. They dialed 4999, just so you know, it was a sex line.
Uh-oh. No, don't call that.
Yeah, so it's 4499. So just want to make sure that's clarified.
Right.
Now, you never know. You know, by the way, this is interesting. The first Republican that I heard say anything about the Inspector General was Jason Chaffetz, of all people, who's sort of already checked out. He went for surgery, and he's not running for re-election. But he called on the Inspector General to get involved here. So now he's not calling for a special prosecutor looking into Russiagate, but he did call for something in the Inspector General's office to look into what's going on. It seems like with every day, there are more things that we need to be concerned about. But this is a really good start.
It is, and I hope people will tweet the number to their friends, make the call, and get your friends and contacts to make the call, too, because together we will make a difference.
Sounds great. Jonathan Hudson, it's so nice to talk with you. I've been following you on Twitter forever. You only have about 50 million followers, so it's nice to meet you in person.
Likewise. All right, cheers. Have a great weekend.
You too. Thanks so much. Bye-bye. All right, coming up on the program, we're going to speak with my old pal Jack Rice. Now, Jack, I don't know anybody who worked at the... I do know somebody who worked at the FBI now that I think about it, but I don't know him well enough to call him up and say, come on the show. But Jack Rice was a CIA officer, and he's been joining us a lot lately to talk about, you know, this is not normal. This is not the way things are supposed to work, right? And so he'll be with us at the bottom of the hour. But what I thought we would do now is take a quick time out, check in with what's news, and then come back on the other side with Jack Rice. So don't go away, okay? Listen up. It's about loyalty and lies and sex and no sex. Ugh, God, Donald Trump, no sex. Loyalty and lying and insanity. We'll be right back.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
As the nation was still digesting the president's statements from his interview with NBC's Lester Holt over breakfast Friday morning, Trump showed signs that his mental state is unraveling. At the New York Times, Peter Baker eloquently stated it to begin the day, quote, President Trump on Friday warned James B. Comey, the former FBI director he fired this week, against leaking anything negative about the president and warned the news media that he may cancel all future White House briefings. In a series of early morning Twitter posts, Mr. Trump even seemed to suggest that there may be secret tapes of his conversations with Mr. Comey that could be used to counter the former FBI director if necessary. It was not immediately clear whether he meant that literally or simply hoped to intimidate Mr. Comey into silence. For 2 days, Trump's spokespeople claimed that the memo from Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein was the impetus for the firing.
You said last week the president had full confidence in the FBI director. What changed?
The recommendation that came today and the rationale behind it.
So the president made the decision today?
Yes.
Look, I think when you receive a report that is so clear and a recommendation by someone like the deputy attorney general, you have no choice but to act.
President Trump made the right decision at the right time. To accept the recommendation of the deputy attorney general and the attorney general to ask for the termination, to support the termination of the director of the FBI because of the actions that the deputy attorney general outlined to the president that were endorsed and agreed with by the attorney general. The president made the right decision at the right time.
This is the action that a president takes when he is told by the deputy attorney general, who's only been on the job for 14 days, so he took a new assessment, a new look at everything.
So let's go back to that NBC interview. Trump proved them all liars with one quick answer.
Regardless of recommendation, I was going to fire Comey, knowing there was no good time to do it. And in fact, when I decided to just do it, I said to myself, I said, you know, this Russia thing with Trump and Russia is a made-up story. It's an excuse by the Democrats for having lost an election.
So Dump admits that he was troubled by the made-up Russia thing, and that was why he fired him. Once again, throwing the people that regularly lie for him under the bus.
People in the Justice Department made a very strong recommendation. The president followed it. This absolutely has nothing to do with any investigation into Russia.
It has nothing to do with Russia. It has everything to do with whether the current FBI director has the president's confidence.
Intelligence officials have said there's investigation into potential ties between campaign officials and Russian officials.
That's not what this was about. The president took strong and decisive leadership here to put the safety and security of the American people first.
What about the president's dissatisfaction with the Russia probe? Did that play into this, sir? And
let me be very clear that the president's decision to accept the recommendation of the deputy attorney general and the attorney general to remove Director Comey as the head of the FBI was based solely and exclusively on his commitment to the best interest of the American people.
The New York Times on Thursday also reported that during that dinner, Trump demanded loyalty from the FBI director, with Michael Schmidt writing, as they ate, the president and Mr. Comey made small talk about the election and the crowd sizes at Mr. Trump's rallies. The president then turned the conversation to whether Mr. Comey would pledge his loyalty to him.
I can really shake him down.
Do you love me?
Schmidt appeared on MSNBC Friday morning.
Comey had been appointed by Obama back in 2013, so it's 7 days into his presidency, January 27th. Comey gets summoned to the White House. Comey doesn't want to go, but he doesn't think he can turn the meeting down. And right off the bat, Trump goes after the issue of loyalty, sort of signaling to Comey that this was the reason why he wanted to talk to him. And Comey sidestepped it and said, look, I'll give you my honesty, but, you know, he doesn't give that loyalty approach. But Trump kept on coming back to it, and they eventually get to the point where Trump says, well, honest loyalty. Now, I don't specifically know whether it's true that that the issue of the Russian investigation came up at that, but it was clear to Comey what Trump was trying to get from him, and Comey didn't want to do it, and he was afraid of doing it, and his relationship from there deteriorated. And what Comey's associates say is when they look back at this, they say, well, this is pretty crystal clear why this relationship never worked out and why Comey was fired.
Now, the reporting must have rubbed Trump the wrong way, as he let loose a particularly erratic Twitter stream that included, as a very active president with lots of things happening, it is not possible for my surrogates to stand at podium with perfect accuracy. Maybe the best thing to do would be to cancel all future, quote, press briefings and hand out written responses for the sake of accuracy, followed by three question marks. And the kicker, James Comey better hope that there are no, quote, tapes of our conversations before he starts leaking to the press. Presidential historian Michael Beschloss tweeted in response, presidents are supposed to have stopped routinely taping visitors without their knowledge when Nixon's taping system was revealed in 1973. If you appreciate our What's News segments, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. What's News and The Nicole Sandler Show are 100% listener-funded, and we need your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com/donate.
The Nicole Sandler Show phone pocket is here. Just sign up for a new membership at NicoleSandler.com with a recurring monthly donation of $5 or more, and Nicole will send you a Nicole Sandler Show phone pocket, formerly known as the Knot Pocket, and a gracious personal autographed note of thanks. And, of course, her undying gratitude. Get one while supplies last.
Yeah, and you know, we've switched over to our new a podcast host. Yes, a new podcast host. And who's okay, I'm looking at something in the chat room I should ignore when I'm on the air. So I did get an email from someone today saying, you haven't posted any podcasts from May yet. Yes, we have. And if you can't find them, go to NicoleSandler.com, click on the podcast tab, and it'll have all the new information there. Also, I'm not good at asking for money. I really suck at it, but I need to do it more often. And I have a wonderful listener who for the month of May has offered up a matching funds donation. So she will match every dollar for the first $500 that are donated to this program in the month of May. We're getting there, but you can still get in on it and your donation will effectively be doubled. So now's a good time to do it. NicoleSandler.com/donate. All right. I don't know about you, but I'm feeling really antsy about everything that's going on right now, and what perfect timing, because it seems as if our president has now threatened the former director of the FBI with a surreptitious taping of their dinner conversation. Now, James Comey said, if he's got it, bring it on. I've got nothing to hide, which is, you know, what he should do. Jack Rice joins us now. He's a former CIA officer. He's a trial lawyer. He's a writer. He's a broadcaster. He's a Renaissance man, and he's on the line. Hey, Jack.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's great to be with you again, by the way.
It's great to be with you, too. You know, I just noticed the last time we spoke was a month ago today. It's like there's always something going on, and I could probably talk to you every day with this administration. It's just, this is really insane. Have you ever seen anything like this in your lifetime?
No, and I don't think anybody has. If we look back, you know, it's crazy when you look at what is going on right now, and if you think about really big picture, how insane this is. I was part of a documentary, believe it or not, they were filming me last night. A Russian documentary company is actually working on a documentary, so they wanted me to at least articulate some point, and which is crazy in itself to me. But they asked me, they said, how big is this investigation? I said, do you know that every scandal we have seen since the 1970s usually ends with Gate, basically referring back to Watergate. This is so much bigger, potentially, than Watergate ever was. That was nothing.
Right.
This is massive.
Yeah, I saw somebody write that instead of Gate, we should call it Alago. like Comey-a-Lago.
Well, I think this potentially, I mean, this really does put potentially Watergate to bed forever. Because, again, that was a two-bit burglary operation between two political parties. This is a fight between essentially arch enemies, if you will, and the power of one that could reach all the way into and controlling the White House of the United States. We have never seen anything like this in the history of the United States. It's extraordinary.
It is. And I think, I mean, and correct me if you think I'm wrong here. I think at the heart of it is a guy who just is clueless as to the way things are supposed to run, as to the, you know, the pomp and circumstance, even the way a president briefs his communication staff. I mean, what happened for 48 hours, his people were going out there telling one story. Oh, it was because Rosenstein, the new deputy attorney general, wrote a report that was so damning over Comey's treatment of Hillary Clinton during the campaign that's why he was fired. And they ran with that for 48 hours. And then Trump does this interview with Lester Holt last night and says, well, actually, yeah, I knew I was going to fire him anyway. And, you know, it's just this Russia story is just it's fake news. It's a fake thing. And that's basically saying that's why he did it, incriminating himself because he doesn't understand how these things work.
When we think about where we are, and I love how he put this today, and his people have basically come out saying, well, he's contemplating having no more press conferences because his people aren't speaking exactly perfect. But here's the problem. There were four or five different positions in a 24 or 36-hour period, some of them completely adverse to one another. We saw originally them saying, yes, this had everything to do with the deputy attorney general.
Right.
And then it became the deputy attorney general and the attorney general actually telling him to fire Comey, who, by the way,
was supposed to recuse himself
from the Russian operation.
Allegedly. Right.
Yeah, right. And again, and then you see this pivoting over and over. And isn't it astounding when you realize each of these was either complete incompetency or a purposeful lie? You have to decide which. But it seems to me if it's going to be one or the other, it shouldn't be either of them. And yet, that's where we sit right now. That's what's rolling out of this White House. And that is not a left or right analysis. That's a fact. It was either a purposeful lie or incompetence. And that would be true if you had a Republican trying to explain that, because there's really no other way to lay it out based upon what President Trump said.
Right. And now we know that I can't say those two words together. Dump. I just called him Dump. Dump is you know, he's no stranger to lying. I think it's just second nature to him. And he doesn't get that when you're president of the United States, you're in a different ball game now. You're not just some, you know, real estate guy in New York. You're the fucking president of the United States. And your words take on extra importance. And he just lies with such impunity. On top of that, I think he's inept and he just really doesn't get it. You know, in some of the analysis that I watched a little bit of it last night, is like, does he not realize that he incriminated himself when he said the reason, and just basically throwing all his communications people under the bus, the people who for the prior 48 hours were lying on his behalf, when he said, well, you know, I think it's, I knew this Rusher thing was, you know, this is fake, it's phony, and I just want it to be over. He just admitted to firing the director of the FBI because he's investigating him for his campaign ties to Russia.
That is exactly what's happening right now. And again, I recognize his desire to have this over with. I suspect if I were in this position, I would want this to be gone too. But the problem that you have is when you have the likes of Stone, Manafort, Page, and Flynn continuing in the news almost on a daily basis, there is not just a little blood in the water, there's a lot of blood in the water. But I think the problem is that even with all of that blood, you still have Donald Trump playing Roy Scheider from Jaws throwing the chum in the water.
Yes.
That's what he ends up doing. I keep looking at this guy thinking to myself, we need a bigger boat.
Yes.
We need a bigger boat.
Right.
That is where Donald Trump is right now.
And then, I mean, it's just like, you know, we go down this one road. It's like, oh, yeah, there was something else. He demanded of James Comey that he pledge his loyalty. Does he not know? And this is where his, I don't want to call him stupid, his naivete comes in. The FBI director may serve at the president's pleasure, but he doesn't report, he doesn't work for him. He is an independent, and that's why the FBI director serves in a 10-year term. So he's not there at the pleasure of the president, although the president does have the right to fire him and, you know, nominate someone else. But this is so uncalled for. This has happened, I believe, only once before, right?
Yeah, we look back, and Clinton did this with Sessions
right.
years and years ago, but that was it was specifically tied to some report and some conflicts of interest and other things. So this was tied to something way beyond Clinton, having nothing to do with Clinton. You're right. You know, this is part of one of the biggest fears that I have here, is that what Donald Trump fails to understand is how the United States works, his role within the United States, the power of the presidency, and what that means. And if you also realize his demand for loyalty from all of his people, so to speak, as he sees them, this is exactly what a prince would do. This is exactly what an authoritarian dictator would do. I mean, every time I see the level at which he seems to adore the likes of a Putin,
yes.
A Sisi, what we saw from a Sisi, what we have seen from Erdogan and his desire to see the kind of power that they have, this is exactly what he, I think, wished he had in the United States. My fear, though, is because he so fundamentally misunderstands American history, as we've seen with the Andrew Jackson statements, amongst others, that he doesn't understand what his role is and the potential for any president to destroy the institution itself. And he, day by day, week by week, is chipping away at what this means. And we've never seen this before. This is fundamentally different than what we have ever seen.
It is. And, you know, Jack Rice, you mentioned a moment ago about the tweets that he sent out today. Here, wait, hold on. Let me quote him directly. He said, as a very active president with lots of things happening, it is not possible for my surrogates to stand at podium with perfect accuracy. Maybe the best thing to do would be to cancel all future press briefings and hand out written responses for the sake of accuracy, followed by 3 question marks. So here he is, threatening, doing the authoritarian thing, threatening to cancel all future press briefings, coming just days after he has the Russian foreign minister to the Oval Office and doesn't invite any American press in, but the Russian foreign minister's photographer, who he doesn't realize is with the TASS news agency, is allowed in the Oval Office with all their equipment. The official readout doesn't say that Kislyak, the ambassador, was there. Kislyak, whose meetings with everyone has ruffled so many feathers. I mean, that's what undid Mike Flynn and Carter Page and other people. He was there, and the official readout from the administration doesn't include that Sergei Kislyak was in that meeting as well. And the only photos we get from it are from the Russians, from the Russian news agency TASS. And he doesn't get why this is a big deal. And people, I mean, there was a headline, White House senior administration staff literally face-palming. They're so flummoxed by what this guy is doing, and he doesn't realize how bad this looks?
And let's be clear, Ambassador Kislyak is an SFB Russian intelligence officer. He is.
Mm.
I want to be very clear on that. He is a Russian intelligence officer. That's what he is.
Wow.
That's also who Lev Lavrov is. Not just the foreign minister.
Right.
He was also the Russian ambassador to the United Nations, multiple other countries around the world, incredibly connected, amazingly powerful. And you realize this is another example of a failed understanding of what is going on by this president. My fear is, you know what, sometimes we look at his nefariousness and say, well, he's purposely doing this and he's purposely doing that. I think what may be worse is a level of incompetence and ignorance, and almost willful ignorance, and wearing it as a badge of honor, that it's something that he does, and that he'll be pulled around by the nose and not even know it. He's going to come up with answers that are exactly the answers that Vladimir Putin wants him to have, and he won't even know it. And he'll agree on behalf of all of the American people, all 350 million of us, despite not even knowing what it is that he's doing. That's the biggest fear of all.
It's a big fear. It's frightening. And I think a lot of the people in the White House are realizing that. I mean, that, either they bail out now or they're going to get buried along with this guy. Is any of this stuff, Jack, any of these things, and we just went through half a dozen of them, are any of them impeachable offenses, or is it just inanity?
Oh yes. Oh, there are impeachable offenses. I mean, if we look back, we realize that impeachment doesn't take much. You know, high crimes and misdemeanors, and we found that actually oral sex with an intern and not talking about it and lying about it during a deposition was enough. Seriously. Mm-hmm. I mean, yep. We've learned that.
Right.
And despite the fact that the guy who was driven that was prosecuted for sex with children. But we'll set that aside.
Right.
That's the standard. And so could he be impeached? The answer is yes. And that's something that I think you're going to start. You may never hear the murmurings, but I'm thinking what you're going to find is that there will come that tipping point. And the tipping point will be when Republicans will look at this president and not decide that he's bad for the country, but they will decide that he's actually bad for their potential next election cycle, and that he will hurt them more than he will help them.
Oh, so you think they may even go there? See, I was thinking that this wouldn't happen until after the 2018 election, and then
if the Democrats
get in power.
No, I think if it's going to happen, I think the Republicans would pull the trigger themselves.
Wow.
And the reason they would pull the trigger is the only way that you cleanse yourself from your agreement with the devil is to then make the argument that we've decided to put country above party, and so we're going to look at this issue ourselves because we must. Now, there's no other way, because what will happen is that they could be trounced over and over again because they will be seen as part of the Trump brigade. And that's the last thing that they need. They don't want that. And they're going to, at some point, have to come to a realization on the best way to approach that. And I think that's where they are right now. I think that's what they're afraid of. Because remember, he keeps spinning out of control, and nobody can seem to stop him. Nobody, including the Republicans, including his own handlers.
Well, the Republicans, we got to say, in Congress, so far none of them have really stepped out and criticized him full-throatedly, if you know what I mean.
Wait till somebody dies. And by the way, I'm not joking. When you look at what's going on, his willingness to be as muscular as he has in Syria, as well as what we have seen in Afghanistan, what he's doing with the North Koreans, when you start seeing people die, And this behavior, which he doesn't seem to realize as president, will result in the deaths of people, including Americans.
Yeah.
At some point, there's going to be that line where Republicans will say, wait a second. We're not there yet.
Now, let me ask you this, Jack, because you have daughters as well. You know, my daughter just turned 18 last week. Oh, my God.
Wow. And that's amazing.
Isn't that amazing?
We've known each other a long time.
Yeah, we have. I know. She just turned 18. And I'll tell you, she's freaked out because she's convinced he's going to get us into World War III and she's going to be drafted. Now, of course, I told her, I will get you out of this country before you go fight for a war that this moron gets you into. But nevertheless, that fear is there. So that, you know, does that frighten you?
Of course it does. I think part of the problem that we all have here is that this is maybe my biggest fear of all. I can look back and I can think about not just let's exclude the Democrats and just look at the Republican Party as a whole in general in the past.
Yep.
And I can think back to Bush. I can think back to his father. I can think about Ronald Reagan. I can think back much further than that. And here's what I believe. I truly believe that all of the previous Republican presidents, generally speaking, they loved their country.
Yeah.
They did. Now, they had a philosophical view, which was different than mine because I think they were actually incorrect. But that's different.
Right.
I think they all were patriotic in terms of their vision, in terms of their willingness to sacrifice, in terms of their idea of where they thought the country should be. The thing is that Donald Trump, I don't believe, has that view. I don't think he's ever sacrificed anything in his entire life. And more importantly, I don't think he looks at the country in that sense. He only sees this as an ATM machine that he can pull something from. This is about what he gets, not what he's willing to give. And so if you think of it in that sense, there's no such thing as sacrifice, which means there's also nothing to protect other than what you can pull from it. And so that is my biggest fear, is his willingness to move forward and do what he does is different than any previous Republican, because he looks at the world and at the United States in a fundamentally different way.
Hmm. Yeah, and he does. He doesn't look at it through the lens of somebody who's been in public service in any sense of the word. He's never held office. He's never fought in the military. He's never served his country. He's only served himself. So that's what he knows. And that's how gotten him this far. So it's me, me, me. I mean, just the ego involved. So he writes a letter firing the director of the FBI, and he puts a paragraph in the middle saying, even though you cleared me three times told me that there was no investigation. Who puts that in a letter that you're firing somebody? The man is completely unhinged.
When I think about the analysis that I just gave, let me, at least from a background perspective, part of the reason I think of that analysis is in this way. As a former CIA case officer, I think about how I would target this guy. I think about how I would recruit him and how I would work him and how the Russians would work him, and they would work him in a similar fashion. Part of the assessment that I would suggest is in a Russian intelligence document right now will include that little piece, that piece of how he views the United States. Because there are some people, if you're actually trying to target them for recruitment, what you're going to do is you're going to use their patriotism, and you're going to warp that patriotism in such a way to convince them that what they're doing is actually for their country. That's not necessary for Donald Trump. You don't need to do that. You need to do something else in order to motivate Donald Trump to do certain things. And I think that's a big part of why the analysis is what it is. But the biggest problem is what that really does is that establishes the potential danger of this president and his willingness to do the things that he has done in the past and his almost volatile willingness to be pathological about it.
Right.
That's something that the Republicans won't be able to control. And while they were able to use this to springboard this last election cycle, the problem is when he starts to spin out, they've hooked themselves to him and they have to unhook themselves if they will survive as a party. And that's why my assessment is they're going to go down that path. It may happen before the election cycle. It's coming quickly. The problem is the election cycle has really already started.
It has.
Some estimated 20 people who've already said on the Republican side, I'm going to run against this dude, and that's not even about the midterms.
Wow.
So, and you know, if you're going to be running during the midterms, especially a third of the Senate, all of the House, you're not running against your opponent. You're running against Donald Trump.
That's right.
Rightfully so.
Right.
That's what you're going to do.
They have to. So, Jack Rice, I know you weren't with the FBI. You were with the CIA. But I have to think there's that pride of brothership or camaraderie within the agency. After they put out the talking point, and Sarah Huckabee Sanders kept saying it over and over again, as did the rest of them from Kellyanne Conway on down, that that the rank and file of the FBI had lost confidence in Comey. And what was his name? The deputy, Andrew McCabe, the acting FBI director, when he was on the hot seat the other day, he said that's absolutely not true. We all have the utmost respect for him, and went on. And then I read a report that on Wednesday, the day after their firing, all the FBI agents who were on Twitter changed their profile pictures to Comey. Do you want to fuck with the FBI? I mean, as president, I used to have, and I think I ran the scenario by you once before. I think we spoke after Obama was elected, and I said, what happened? You know, the campaign, we thought he was going to be this progressive, or at least he talked like one, and then that's really not what we got. And I gave my fantasy scenario is the president finishes the inauguration, comes in, sits down at the desk in the Oval Office, and he gets paid a visit by a couple of people from the CIA who say, now let us tell you how this job really works. And you know, they're told a few things. Donald Trump doesn't seem to have gotten that visit.
If we look at where the FBI is right now, I think that there is a disconnect between how the intelligence community, the law enforcement community, look at this issue and how the American people and politicians look at this issue. Politicians and the American people, to some degree, look at this, and there are those on the left who are pissed off at what it is that he did in October. Right.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
In terms of coming back and saying very publicly, this investigation continues.
Right.
There are the Republicans who were back in June who were pissed off at him saying that I'm not going to prosecute. So,
right.
So you get the left and the right looking at this that way. The thing is if you think of it from the perspective of the intelligence community, the law enforcement community, if you have everybody hating you, you might be doing the right thing.
Right.
You know, I'm serious because right. What's going on is that he saw this as a very apolitical approach. I was very unhappy with certain aspects of what he did, but what he was doing in terms of the investigation, he was driving this forward in a very apolitical fashion.
But now it's very political. Or it seems to be. It seems that he killed Comey. He removed him from office, from his position, because he wanted this Russia investigation to be over. It seems very political to me. And in the process, he smeared the head of the FBI, and it seems that the rank and file very much respected Comey. Do you want to piss off the FBI?
Well, you know what? If you think about that, remember what it was that happened with the entire intelligence community when all of the intelligence community collectively came together and said, the Russians were trying to manipulate the election.
That's
and
right.
Donald Trump's decision was to attack the intelligence community.
That's like right.
To choose the Russians over his own intelligence community. You think the FBI is pissed off?
Oh, yeah.
Let's talk about what the entire intelligence community is right now. See, that's part of the blood in the water question. If we look at where we are and what's coming at us, what I can tell you is there is a massive number of people, and they are very good at what they do, and they have risked their lives over and over again for decades. And to have this hack who has never served for anybody doing anything in his entire life come in and demean everything they have ever stood for, those people will not forget. And those people will drive forward to ensure that whatever is out there will come out. And you know what? They can try to pass Jeff Sessions with going after anybody and everybody who lets that stuff slip. There are a lot of politicians who are out there who aren't letting go, but there are even more intelligent people who are much smarter, by the way, who can actually come back and make sure that information actually gets where it needs to be.
Right. Well, these are people, these are career people. They don't change with the administration. These are people who've been there through the Bush years, through the Obama years, going back to the Clinton years, going back to Bush 40 to 41 years.
I worked for Republicans, a Republican and for a Democratic president.
Right. So that's
I worked for both. And it didn't change what I did. I actually didn't care.
Right.
I did what I did.
As most of them, I would guess, don't. And so I've got to think they're not happy that the intelligence community is being given this black eye. Now, I got to tell you, Jack Rice, I hear from listeners who get upset with me because I'm believing what the intelligence community says. I, for my own sanity, I have to believe someone. And, you know, I wasn't even aware until all this came up that there were 17 intelligence agencies. I mean, I thought there was the CIA and the FBI and the NSA and maybe a couple of that I didn't know about. But what I didn't realize was every agency in the government basically has its own intelligence office, and they all coordinate. They work together. These are people, these are career officers who I'm sure don't take it too lightly that this buffoon comes in from New York, thinks he knows everything, and is smearing their good name.
Well, that, and for those people who doubt the intelligence community on this issue, let me be clear, and this is something I said during this documentary last night. Again, it's weird to me. Is that the intelligence community and intelligence in the United States is no different than intelligence in the rest of the world in this sense. Major intelligence organizations and large countries, powerful countries, try to manipulate the elections of their adversaries all the time.
Mm-hmm.
All the time, and they have been doing this for decades. And I will include the United States, so it's not as if we're lily white when it comes to the issue. The idea of making the argument that the Russians weren't doing this would show again that they're either incompetent, completely incompetent, or lying. That is a fact. So the issue is whether they were trying to do this. The answer is they were absolutely trying to do this. The bottom line is, were they successful? And the answer was, yes, they were. They have been successful multiple times in the past. They did this with the Ukrainians. They did this in Georgia. They did this in the Baltics. But they have tried to do this on the Brexit issue. They tried to do this on the French issue. They tried to do and continue to do this on the German issue. And they absolutely did this on the American issue.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something that they do because this is exactly what the Russians do. The real difference in this case is whether or not this went all the way up to the guy who was going to become president of the United States. And he knew about it and used the information to help himself win. That's the difference right now, because what that means is not only was he complicit, potentially, but that also means the Russians now have the ability to turn the screw and say, you know what, Mr. Trump, you know what, Donald Trump, remember when we helped you win? Here is what we're going to get out of it. That's the difference. That's why this is an issue that has to be looked at, which has nothing to do with him being a Republican or whether he's a Republican or a Democrat. I swear I would go after this guy if he were a Democrat with this kind of gusto, because it's the same issue. From my perspective, this is what the intelligence community does in the world. This is why they do it. This is what they would do to him if they could.
Oh, it's scary times, and we don't know how it's going to end, but hopefully it will end eventually. Jack Rice, my time with you is always too short. Thank you, as always, for joining in and bringing some words of wisdom our way.
Thank you so much.
Take care. Bye-bye. Jack Rice, everybody. Find him at jackrice.net. On the Twitters, at Jack Rice, just as the name sounds. I'm Nicole Sandler. Thanks for being here. Have a great weekend, everyone. Happy Mother's Day! All right. Now that Progressive Voices is gone, I can leave you with one more song. I should play a mother song, shouldn't I? I didn't even cue up a mother song. You know what? It's the perfect mother song for these days. Because, Mother, do you think they'll build the wall? I'll leave you with Pink Floyd. I think. Here we go.
Mother, do you think they'll drop the bomb?
Well, that too. Have a great weekend, everyone. See you Monday for the music show.
Mother, do you think they'll like this song? Mother, do you think they'll try to break my balls?
A's, because mother, do you think they'll build the wall?
Ooh, mother should have built the wall. Mother, should I run for president? Mother. why should I trust the government?
Mother, did it need to be so high?